Book of Judges. And we were finishing up chapter 19, so Judges 19. Now, as we recall, review here, we've gone through chapter 16, finished up with Samson. Now these last chapters, 17 through 21, deal with events prior to Samson and take us back some time. But it's kind of like an appendix, but as an appendix, it gives the wickedness of the times that led into these chapters. So we're dealing here with the two tribes here, the Danites and the Benjaminites, and all that was going on there. We recall with regard to chapter 19, the Levite there, so the Levite and his wife or concubine, we see this in chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, the concubine left him, and so he went to find her after 4 months and did go to her house. And we see in verse 3, he spoke friendly to her, or spoke to her heart. Hebrew reads there. And stays there for 4.5 days, basically, to on the invite of the father-in-law, and then finally leaves. So this is some of the background there. And then verses 9 through 15, he leaves in the afternoon. It's dark. It starts to get dark, so he doesn't want to go to the city of Jebus. That's an old name for Jerusalem. But he wants to, because that was still housed by the, inhabited by the Canaanites. So he went on to Gibeah. And there in Gibeah, he stays with an older man. So we pick it up in verse 16. This is still review here, but we see the wickedness that was going on here. The old man comes from work, finds out the man and his concubine are in the city there, but nobody's invited them in. And so he invites them into his house. They were in verse 18. They're on the way to go to the house of the Lord. He's probably going back to the house of the Lord there in Shiloh, presumably, to rejoice in the fact that he's able to get his wife back, maybe offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving or something like that. And but nobody took them in, so the old man takes them in. And the old man makes it clear here, don't lodge in the street. That's verse 20. And so he brought him in and took care of him and furnished him with everything and took care of all the needs. So this is the ancient way of hospitality. And that's what we sense when we're over in Dubai. The folks there are very hospitable and wouldn't let us do anything. They took care of everything for us and very thorough on that. And it was almost an offense if we wanted to do something for them. And it's all about taking care of their guests. So we just had to accept it. But it's a good lesson for us as well to, when we host people and so on, to try to take care of all their needs and so on. But anyway, so they have a meal there, but the sons of Belial, so here in verse 22, the sons of Belial beset the house. So we have this wicked period going on here and activity. Now, wanted to mention, let's jump forward here for a minute for timeline. In chapter 20, verse 28, here we have an individual. 20:28 says, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, "Shall I yet again go out to battle again against the children of Benjamin, my brother?" So on. So Phinehas comes into the scene. So Phinehas, since this is the Phinehas that dealt with the Numbers 25 issue here, we see this is very early in the history of the judges there. If you recall back there in Numbers chapter 25, so we dealt with this on a Wednesday evening not too long ago. In Numbers 25, here in the valley of Moab, or the plains of Moab, we have this occasion going on. This is right at the end of the 40 years journey, and as Moses is giving the book of Deuteronomy and so on. So that's the background on all this. And we have the, through Balaam's efforts here, the people get involved in idolatry and immorality. We see that in verse 2, it's 25:2, Numbers 25:2. And so they're involved in this immorality. So idolatry and immorality go together, two I words, they go together in the past and today as well. And so in verse 7, Phinehas. So here we have Phinehas, same man. So verse 7 says, "When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them, man and the woman, through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so that the plague was stayed from the children of Israel." Here she apparently was a Midianite woman. So here, Phinehas kills them both to stay the plague because they were involved in this idolatry and immorality. So this is our Phinehas here. Now this happened before the children of Israel went into the land. See, so now we jump forward here. Phinehas is still around. Now Phinehas was the grandson of Aaron and a righteous man and so on. By the way, here we see kills two people. Now, however, this is not a violation of thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder. He's doing this for the benefit of and the purpose of stopping this rebellion. You see that? You might say it's a form of capital punishment. But this is our Phinehas here. And so then the children of Israel go into the promised land. Phinehas is still around. Joshua comes along. He conquers the cities. Then we have a generation goes by, and Phinehas is still around. So Phinehas is a very old man by this time. And so he's the one who's now going to have to deal with the Benjaminite issue later on. So in chapter 17 through 21, there's two tribes here. Tribe of Dan, so we talked about that. They got out of the will of God geographically, went north, and became a very pagan, idolatrous, and so on. In the tribe of Benjamin, that's the tribe that we're dealing with at this point now. And the tribe of Benjamin, as we're going to see, civil war breaks out, and the tribe of Benjamin is almost eliminated. Almost eliminated. So, but Phinehas is involved in all this. So we see the accounts and Judges, the whole point of all this is the account of Phinehas dealing with the going to battle against the Benjaminites happened very early in the history of the Judges. That's what we're saying. So we're going back. Even though as we read through Judges, we think this is chronological. And certainly the up through Samson, it was basically a chronological order. But this is taking us back before all of that. All right. So anyway, a little background on that. By the way, with regard to Phinehas, Psalm 106 here the psalmist praises Phinehas for his work there earlier, Psalm 106. And verse 30. So this psalm talks about the issue there at Baal Peor. And verse 30, Psalm 106, 30 says, then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, so the plague was stayed. So that's our Numbers 25 passage. But anyway, he's trying to show some connection here in the book of Judges. So anyway, the issue at hand here is we've got Sodomites. We've got Sodomites in Gibeah, which is a town of Benjamin. So here we find that the Jews there, rather than eliminating the Canaanites, this is what happened. They turn into the worst of the worst people of the Canaanites and practice sodomy. So here's where certainly separation comes in. So we got the Christian and the world, and one of the two is going to compromise. Think of that. Either Christian compromised with the world, or the world, from the Christian's point of view, is compromised because the Christian stays away from the world, separated from the world. So we see this as well here. So in the battle between the believer and the world, who's going to win out? That's a big question here. Who's going to win out? And so the believer, when he walks in the flesh, we know who's going to win out. And the believer walks in the spirit, then the believer can win out. So, nevertheless, these are Jews. They're called sons of Belial. They're involved in this wickedness and so on. And they want the husband here, and yet the old man obviously won't turn him over. So then there's the offer in verse 24. So we see, as the scripture says here, there's no king in those days, and every man did that which is right in his own eyes. We see when man does something right in his own eyes, it's always sin. You need to do things right in the eyes of the Lord, not right in the eyes of man. And so here then, they offer, in verse 24, the old man offers, here's my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. And of course, the man there didn't prohibit his concubine being offered. But anyway, them will I bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so vile a thing. So here has a choice between sodomy and rape. I mean, what a choice. And yet this is where their society was. And so they abused the woman here all night long, and she's killed. She dies here. And so she falls down, verse 27, at the door of the house, and so she's dead. So here we see basically they murdered her. All right, so his response to all this is in verse 29 and 30. Verse 29 and 30, his response is that he takes a knife and cuts her up, divides her into 12 pieces, and sends these 12 pieces to the 12 tribes. And then he asks in verse 30, consider it, take advice, and speak your mind. So here the message is, we think about this wickedness. Now, cutting her up, dividing her, as I mentioned before in Exodus 29, this was a practice of dividing an animal up to offer it as a sacrifice. And also, Saul, you recall, cut up an animal, sent it out to the 12 tribes for them to respond to going to battle and so on. So that's in 1 Samuel chapter 11. All right, so this was a practice of cutting an animal up, but cutting a woman up, I mean, this is just terrible, terrible practice here. So that's what he's done. Now, in all of this, we see four times, as I mentioned there, starting in chapter 19, a second time here, it says there was no king in Israel in that day. Or in chapter 21, as I alluded to. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's in verse 21-25. The book concludes that way. So this shows the wickedness of mankind, the old nature of mankind, the rejection of the Lord, and so on. Now, in this, since we're going through Judges, I mean, this is what we're dealing with. So there are several violations of the Ten Commandments. Now, on Wednesday, I'm going through the Ten Commandments there in Deuteronomy chapter 5, or Exodus 20, for that matter. But let's think of the judgments here, or the violations. So let's turn to Deuteronomy, and we'll look there in chapter 5. So this is one of several passages. Exodus 20 is the other main one in the Old Testament. But Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have beginning in verse 6, going all the way through 21, our Ten Commandments. So we have the verses 6 and 7, we have the singularity of God. Worship Him only. I am the Lord, no other gods. Exclusivity of God, verses 8 through 10. The not taking the Lord's name in vain, verse 11. The Sabbath keeping, we'll deal with that Wednesday night, by the way. Sabbath keeping, 12 through 15. And then we have others, honor thy father and thy mother, verse 16. And 17, thou shalt not kill. 18, neither shalt thou commit adultery. 19, neither shalt thou steal. 20, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. And coveting, verse 21. So here we find in all of this, certainly there was murder. The woman was murdered here. There was obviously coveting her. Coveting the man and the woman, for that matter, in an immoral sense. And then the elsewhere, we have the condemnation of sodomy. If you look there in Leviticus 18, we have a series of immoral activity here. 18:20, Leviticus 18:20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. There's adultery here. 21, Molech worship, murdering children. 22, here is sodomy. 23, bestiality. And verse 24, defile not yourselves in any of these things. So here we see the wickedness of where man goes when the Lord's not central in his life. And who knows how far a person would go, but we see this perversion. We see this perversion, and the Bible's condemned this. Now this is where our country is today. And basically, so much of this is fostered from Hollywood and so on. This is just a wicked land that we live in. And we're in a post-Christian era. So when the Lord's taken out of the center place of a land, then what's going to fill the vacuum? It's going to be the wickedness of the wickedness. And that's what we see going on. This is human nature. Paul deals with this. You look there in Romans chapter 1. He deals with this. And Romans, Paul, having studied under Gamaliel, knew the Old Testament thoroughly, but Paul likes to start his arguments from the very beginning. He does that especially in Romans. It all started back there in the beginning with Adam and Eve and following. But there in Romans 1, he says, in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So when they knew God, well, Cain knew God. Cain had a conversation with the Lord in Genesis chapter 4. He knew the Lord, not in the way of salvation, but he knew the Lord. He had a conversation with the Lord. And his descendants, they had this knowledge. And here we see they glorified not God. Notice, it seems like almost, first of all, unthankfulness. So if you look there in Genesis 4, we won't do that now, but as the Lord had a conversation with Cain and so on, Cain, and the Lord was gracious to Cain in his lifetime, not his death, but in his lifetime, gracious to Cain, put a mark on him so nobody'd murder him. But where's the thankfulness from Cain? You don't see it. You read that passage, and Cain has a bitter, hostile attitude towards the Lord, and there's no thankfulness at all. And so, of course, we who are filled with the Spirit, we need to have a thankful heart. We need to be thankful for everything. That's one of the ways we can gauge our hearts. Have a rejoicing heart, thankful heart, submissive heart. That's Ephesians chapter 5. So can we be thankful for everything? And but here we see their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they changed, or they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like unto a corruptible man, and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So you see that downward movement here. God, man, animals. Think of that. Stop worshiping God, then man, self-worship, and then animals. Downward move there. And the Lord then gave them up. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Started off with Eve talking to the serpent. She could have said to the serpent, which over which she was to have dominion as well as the man. And yet she listened to the serpent. Adam listened to her. Adam then brought the world into sin and condemnation because of all this. But the Lord, but we see this goes way back to the very beginning. So the wickedness that's found in our country today is not something new. Man just dreamed up some of these things recently. No, it's been all through human history. The only remedy to this is salvation in Christ. It's the only remedy. And men are going to wax worse and worse, we're told. And what's been going on in our country and in any country, what's been going on, you might say, undercover, now the cover has been lifted and now we just see it. It's just blazing and blatant and so on. Wickedness throughout the land. So, violation of the Word of God. And of course, many of you, as you have employment, you're in the world with your employment, so on, you see it now. It's no longer are people hiding their wickedness. It's just open. It's just open. And we realize that. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, obviously. So what the passage is showing us is the wickedness of man. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so this is wickedness. It's not acceptable. It's not the acceptable lifestyle now, and nobody cares and so on. The Lord's going to deal with this. He does deal with individuals and deals with nations and time and so on. So we see this wickedness. Now with that in mind, we move into chapter 20. So the Levite sends out parts of his concubine to the 12 tribes. They receive these. So notice verse 20 says, or verse 1, chapter 20. Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba with the land of Gilead unto the Lord at Mizpah. So this is one of their religious sites there. So notice now, they gathered together as one man. That focus on one man shows up again in verse 8. All the people rose as one man. So here's one of the few times the 12 tribes were united. They were united as one man. One man. From Dan, that's way up north. That's a new location for Dan, way up north. Way down Beersheba, that's at the border of entering into the promised land. So from Dan to Beersheba, with the land of Gilead. So remember, Gilead's on the east side of Jordan. East side of Jordan. All right. Unto the Lord at Mizpah. So they were united around this. So he was able to get the 12 tribes to respond to all this. And they responded in a united way. And verse 2, the chief of all the people, even all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God. Now notice the expression there, the people of God. People of God. So they're an assembly, the people of God, united together to deal with this. And 4,000 footmen that drew sword. That's 400,000. Now 400,000 footmen that drew sword. So if that's their military, you can see that you just do some multiplication, you see you probably got about 3 million Jews. So these are your active military men. And they had two parents, obviously. And then any other in the family, quickly you could be at 3 million people. So it's a large group, largest group here. And this was their acting army, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Verse 3, now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. All right, so here we have a parenthesis. The children of Benjamin. So this is one of the tribes. Then said the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness? So they want to know about, we received the body part. What's going on here? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered. So here he has an opportunity to give his story. I came into Gibeah that belonged to Benjamin, I and my concubine to lodge. Now keep in mind, King Saul was a Benjaminite from Gibeah. So this is King Saul's hometown. I came to Gibeah, belonged to Benjamin. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about upon me by night. So here he's just rehearsing what had happened there. And thought to have slain me. Now, we don't necessarily see that in the narrative earlier, but it might have been. Since they abused the woman to her death, they might have done the same thing to him. So he may not be embellishing this at all. I don't think he is. Thought to have slain me and my concubine they have forced. And she is dead. So here he gives a summary statement of all this. And I took the concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. So here, two strong words that he brings out here, their lewdness and folly of what the people of Gibeah had done. Behold, ye are all the children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel. All right. Well, the advice and the counsel should have been for Benjamites to give forth those people in Gibeah, and they would have been slain, and that would have taken care of everything. But instead, as we're going to see, this turns into a major civil war, with the potential of the tribe of Benjamin being completely wiped out. And so the whole thing just seems to get out of control. And so this shows how the impact of sin hurts others, and it's hard to see in the future how many people be hurt by the sin of several. But certainly there's the message that we have here. And verse 8, so we find then the battle lines are drawn. And all the people rose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. So you're united around this. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it. So they're going to go by lot, casting a lot once again. And we will take 10 men of 100 throughout the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000, to fetch victuals for the people, that they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. So they're going to take 10% of the men here for victuals and so on. Get ready for a civil war. Now think of this. So it's going to be 11 tribes against one. And try to root out the wicked individuals here. The problem is that the Benjamites want to defend the guilty and protect the guilty. And so this is what we call injustice. They want to defend the guilty. Here again, these things are not new, but we see this everywhere. The guilty are defended, and the innocent are charged, and so on. So this is the perversion of the world. This is how Satan works. He works through fallen mankind, and everything's turned around. Everything's turned around. So, verse 20 or 11 says, so all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. Third time we've seen this. They're united. So at this point, I think they're hoping we'll destroy the city, or the guilty people here, then we'll be done with this. But that's not the way it works out. And the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? So they go there, try to negotiate. Now therefore, deliver us the men, the children of Belial. So we don't know how many there were. Maybe a dozen. No, we don't know how many there were, but the children of Belial, which are at Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. Now remember, this is what I just mentioned. Phinehas had done. Remember that? Phinehas had done this. He had put to death and stayed the plague back there in Beth Peor, and so put these men to death. That was what was required of this. And but the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. So here, a handful of men. We don't know how many. I doubt it would be 100. I doubt it would be 50. Maybe a dozen men. Yeah. Yet they abused the woman to the point of death, and she died. And so now the tribe of Benjamin is going to defend just a handful of people that are guilty. And this is going to impact everybody else. And so they wanted to defend the Sodomites. So the percentage of the Sodomites compared to everyone else is very small. But you see, their people want to defend them. And that's true today as well in our society. Sodomite community, small, relatively speaking. And yet there's all these rights and so on given to them. I mean, this is just a perversion. How did this takeover happen? How did it happen? Well, we could talk long on all that, but this is what was so... They're defending their so-called rights, but what happened to the concubine's rights? So here's a woman that had no rights. What happened to her rights? But defending these Sodomites is going to almost cost the tribe of Benjamin everything. And going to be thousands are killed in all this. Thousands are killed. Two battles alone, 40,000 men were killed. The tribe of Benjamin is almost eliminated here. So this just brings out the wickedness of all this. All right, so it's almost like we're reading the front pages of a newspaper, isn't it? All right, well, anyway, they wanted to defend them, but not hearken to the voice. So we've got the small tribe of Benjamin has 400,000 soldiers on their doorstep, and just turn them over. They wouldn't. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities into the unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. This is pure folly. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. So here we have 26,700 in contrast to the 400,000. All right, so we look at the numbers. So we're saying a handful of men are being defended by 26,700 soldiers against 400,000. And think of the logistics of the whole thing here. And anyway, verse 16 talks about 700. Among all the people, this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. So these men were accurate, left-handed, and were very accurate here. So they were very skilled. Now, David knew something about sling stones, and he was accurate too. No doubt David practiced as he was watching the sheep, taking rocks here and slinging them and hitting targets and animals, and so on. So he knew how to do that. And these men, they were a precise team here and very adept at their skill. Are you sure? So we'll see how that all works out. And verse 17, the men of Israel, besides Benjamin, were numbered 400,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of war. And so they're all ready to go here. And verse 18, and the children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. So, of course, Judah, just south of Benjamin, Benjamin and Judah really shared the city of Jerusalem, although it didn't come to play at this point. But Judah was the tribe through which the Messiah came. And, of course, Judah seemed to take a place of leadership and so on. But here they asked of God. And now notice, they asked of God, so the name of the Lord Jehovah is brought out, is not brought forth here, although this would be the God, the Lord. It's just they ask counsel of God rather than of the Lord. So it might be that the writer here is trying to indicate the Lord himself is being pulled out of the focus here and with the name and so on. But whatever, they asked the Lord for counsel, God for counsel, and he says Judah should go up first. So here is the battle. Battle is all ready to go here. And we'll see next time. There's three battles, and there's many, many people lost in these battles. So you see how all this just gets magnified and gets out of hand, totally out of hand here, because of sin. And people who won't deal with the sin, they want to protect the sinners, And so everything gets out of hand, and so many thousands of lives are taken, and thousands of lives are at risk, and a tribe is on the verge of being extinct. So look at this next time, but certainly we can learn from the lesson here and see the importance of dealing with sin and not trying to protect it and so on. Our Father, we pray you'll help us now. We thank you for the passage at hand. Bless our study now. Help us to learn the lessons we ask and apply these things to our lives, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.